Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, we talk a lot about preaching here on the program. We talk about the general task of preaching, and usually it's always summed up. We talk about preaching the gospel, and that becomes shorthand, of course, for preaching law and gospel, or at least it should be shorthand for preaching law and gospel, right? For preaching God's perfect demands of us human beings, of because of our sin, that law becoming utterly bad news to us, and how that law, because Christ bore our sin, became the ultimate bad news for him, and yet he bore its wrath, he bore the punishment, he bore its requirements in his obedience and his death, and somehow, through that death, he manages to turn that bad news for him into good news for us, the gospel. So when we say we preach the gospel, do we mean we preach only the gospel, or that the gospel's good news and the law is bad news, therefore the gospel's good and the law is bad? Is that a proper conclusion? We're going to talk about preaching God's law. Pastor David Peterson is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of an article for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled, What Does the Law Do? David, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Okay, we often hear, and I think rightly so, the gospel described as a gift, a pure gift, and it is. Is the law also a gift?
Absolutely. The law is a gift because it's also the word of God, the will of God, and it's good. It's objectively good. I mean, what it says is good and what it says is right. I mean, if we're talking obviously about God's law, the Bible. So it's certainly a gift, and we need it. It's for our good. So it's not only objectively good, but it's also subjectively good. It's good for us.
Okay, so you say the law can't save us?
It can't save us, but it is good for us. What's that?
You say the law can't save us, but it is good for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And the law can't save us, but neither can we be saved without the law. So the power of salvation is the gospel, the good news of God's satisfaction of the law for us. Without the law, the gospel has no content, because the law is the outline of the gospel. The law shows us who Christ is, and it's what Christ fulfills for us. So there is no gospel apart from the law. The gospel is defined by the law. So, I mean, in that sense, too, it has to also be good and be good for us. So even though it doesn't save us, there is no gospel. We can't be saved without it there.
So essentially, you are highlighting that this distinction, this classic distinction between law and gospel, that Lutherans and some other Christians are famous for making, can never become law, then gospel, and then no more law.
Well, that's right. I mean, at least on this side of glory, Christians still need the law, even though they've been forgiven, even though their sins have been forgiven and they've been freed of the burden and the curse of the law. Christians on this side of glory still need the law. In some sense, after we've been glorified and resurrected in our bodies and have been sealed like the holy angels, that there sort of is neither law nor gospel. Because we'll be perfectly at one with the will of God, and like the holy angels, need no instruction in the way that we do now. I mean, it's very difficult to imagine what heaven's like. So and maybe that's not a completely accurate description. But certainly what we know is that we need the law now, and how exactly the God's word will come to us and be experienced by us. That's why I'm hesitating a little bit over your use of the word forever. Maybe I'm being too technical. Am I even making any sense?
Yeah, I think you are. Well, let's, okay. let's back up and see if we can approach it from a different angle here. Let's talk about what the law does to sinners. Not what the law does in and of itself, but what it does to sinners. If it encounters non-sinners, the law is received as pure gift. What does the law do when it encounters a sinner like me or you?
Well, it does two things. It threatens to punish us and shows us consequences for sin, and it accuses us of sin and exposes our need for a Savior. So those are actually both also gifts and good things. And even for unbelievers, the threats of the law are a good thing for civilization and for society, because the threats of the law keep us from carrying out all of our horrible, horrific desires. The fact that you don't just walk across the parking lot and rape everyone you see is because of the law, that the law does to some degree keep us in check through threats. And that's obviously a very good thing. So it's going to always threaten, and it's going to always accuse, because it exposes. Because, of course, for the biblical law, for God's law, it's not enough simply to restrain from raping everyone in the parking lot. The desire in the heart is sinful before God. And the fact that we have these sinful desires, even if we don't carry them out, which thanks be to God when we don't, they still harm our souls, and they still hurt our neighbors, and they still alienate us from God and deserve damnation. So they always the law is always going to threaten and accuse sinners.
Now, here's another distinction kind of within that distinction, and that is the temporal consequences of sin. You say that the temporal consequences are they are part of what the law points out, that there are consequences to sin. And I'm just going to read what you said. Sometimes the consequences are delayed or tempered by mercy, but there are no victimless crimes. Explain that for us.
Well, we often, I mean, this victimless crime idea is really a horrific and destructive idea. The idea that, like, prostitution, if the two people are willing, they're victimless. This isn't true. They're both hurt by it. In the prostitution, the prostitute maybe the most, but also the customer or whatever, because they're harming themselves and they're harming society by engaging in this sort of activity outside of where God has given it to be used for our blessing and for our good. And we often think in our sinful flesh and in our pride that we're going to sort of get away with something, or that no one will be hurt by this. But the reality is we don't see the ripples and the consequences of the things that we do. And when God tells us that something is wrong, that something is sinful and harmful, he never does it arbitrarily. The law is never just, you know, God making up rules to see if we can, you know, as some sort of weird exercise of his power or just to torture us. The law is always describing what is good and what is best, and when it's violated, there's always harm done. And so while we get away with a lot of stuff, thanks be to God, we're not being punished temporally for everything we've done wrong. We are harming things, and we are making things more difficult and more complicated. Even from the simplest thing of just not telling the truth all the time, exaggerating what happened at work today. So I go home to tell my wife, or I go home for dinner, my wife says, what happened? And instead of just telling the truth, I act like I was actually smarter than I was. And there's a temptation to think, well, no harm done there, but there is a harm done, because I've undermined my relationship with her by not being honest with her, by not trusting her to simply love me and respect me as I actually am, but thinking I've got to be different than I am. There's an undermining of the relationship there, and that's just going to have other effects. It harms my children, it harms her, it harms me, it harms the people at work that I've not told the truth about. and it just ripples on down and makes life worse than it should be.
Now, here is a confusion that I think is often entertained when it comes to God's relationship to his law, because the law is a reflection of God's person, of his character. Yeah. Often we say, well, the law is God's alien work. And what we mean there usually, David, as you know well, is the action of the law on sinners is an alien work to God. He does not want to condemn sinners. That's an alien work to him. But that doesn't mean that the law is an alien word of God.
Right. Right. In fact, I mean, this is the thing is that the tension that we feel between law and gospel, right, that in some ways God is angry and wrathful and threatening to punish us. That's what we hear in the Bible, you know, do this and you will surely die. And at the same time, hearing this, God's desire to forgive us and not wanting the death of a sinner, we experience that as a tension between law and gospel, the threats of the law, the accusations of the law, and the good news of God's love for us in Christ that frees us. That tension exists in us, not in God. And I think that's one of the places we get a little bit confused at times, that God's word is solid and God's will is solid. He doesn't have two wills. It's not like part of him hates us and part of him loves us. He loves us. That's what he does. But his love and his word often sound horrible to us because of our rebellion against him and our alienation, so that we hear threat and destruction. It's hard to imagine, but in the Garden of Eden, when God says, don't eat of this or you will surely die, that's not law that is accusing them, because they're not sinful. And it's not threatening them either in the way that now we are threatened by it, because again, they're like the holy angels, and they just receive this with joy as the word of God. It doesn't forgive them. It doesn't accuse them. But now, on this side of glory, because of our sin that we've inherited from Adam and Eve and which we've added to with our own actions, we end up in this kind of confused place.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Pastor David Peterson on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 24th, about preaching God's law. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of an article for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled, What Does the Law Do? We'll be right back.
Robbing people with a six-gun. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. I lost my gun and I lost my fun. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the...
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
The Faith Once for All Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about preaching God's law. Pastor David Peterson is our guest. In hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. Jessica Martinez of the Pew Research Center will be joining us to explain some of the data from a new survey on religion, politics, marriage, and homosexuality. And then we'll get some analysis of that with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute. We'll round off the last few minutes of the program with Pastor Marcus Zill, Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There was a great, derecognizing? That's now a verb, I think. The derecognizing of 23 chapters of a famous Christian fellowship in the California university system. We'll be talking about that with him, getting his thoughts. Pastor Peterson, I have an easy way for preachers to become popular, okay? Just hear me out, and then I'd like your thoughts. You preach kind of generic law. Just, you know, we're all sinners kind of stuff, depending on how it's put. You proceed with the gospel and you got beautiful Christology. And then you proclaim specific law as information, mere information. Why would this kind of preaching be popular? What's wrong with it?
Well, I think it's popular because it's very logical. I mean, it proceeds in a way that's sort of easy to follow and understand. And it kind of leaves people with something to do. Right, so they've got the application at the end, and so now I know what I need to do to be a Christian. And, of course, what they need to do is stuff that they're doing, not receiving, not what God's doing. I mean, that's where the popularity sits. And it's that there's an awful lot of preaching in Christendom that's like that. The early church, their sermons follow a pattern very much like that. Luther's sermons and Walther's sermons, Walther being the founding kind of father of the Missouri Synod, they really do kind of fall on that pattern. The potential problem with it is that it could end up giving the impression that we're emphasizing what people do as living out their Christian faith as that kind of being the thing we leave them with, and the most important thing or the essential thing is now go out and try hard. And that, of course, could very easily lead to despair or to self-righteousness if people are thinking that Christianity is defined by how Christians behave. So that's the problem with it. Christians do need information, and they do need instruction from the law. The law accuses and threatens, but the law does also teach, because the law shows us who God is, and as I say, it shows us who Christ will be and what Christ will do. But with forgiveness of sins, with holy baptism, we do not get all the ethical instruction and knowledge that we need to live in this world and in this life. I mean, it is possible for a person to have faith, to be completely forgiven of his sins, and yet to not understand why homosexual marriage is wrong. And he needs to be instructed from the law as to what marriage is and how God has given this and created this gift. And it may not be obvious to him, to a Christian, if you say to him, Jesus loves everybody and died to reckon everyone to the world, and he even forgives and loves homosexuals. That's the gospel, and it's true. But if you say that, a person might think, well then, I suppose homosexual marriage is fine. And what that person needs is he needs the law. He needs the instruction from the law that the gospel doesn't necessarily make instantly clear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm wondering about to pick up on something you said there. My way of approaching this is, look, I depending on what the text may be, I may actually follow the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, with some, I usually think of it in terms of kind of pastoral counsel or pastoral admonition there. But I better not do that unless I have first, before preaching that gospel, called my people to repent of specific sins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I didn't respond to that. Yeah, I think that's right, too, that if the accusations of the law aren't specific, but the admonitions are, that then we create a kind of false dynamic also. That right. I'm not sure it's the, even though so many of our fathers do preach that way of kind of accusing law, forgiving gospel, and then instructive law. The other thing that's sort of difficult with this whole law thing, we can talk about, and we should talk about, the uses of the law and the way that God uses the law in these different functions on us, to threaten us, to accuse us, and to instruct us. The thing is that these are the ways God uses the law, and preachers don't have control over how the law impacts their hearers. So the preacher does not have the power to make the law only instructive. And now here's some admonitions for Christian living. You know, those are always going to also accuse the people that hear them. And in a similar way, the preacher doesn't have the power to only accuse. The law is going to also threaten and instruct Christians. And it seems to me that we do a little bit better to kind of keep all our law together and to let the law be the law. And the instructing and the accusing can really go side by side, and we'll just preach the law. Here's what God says about homosexuality, and let that accuse and threaten and instruct as God sees fit, and then preach the gospel so that we leave the emphasis that on where it needs to be, that what makes a Christian is God's love and declaration of grace that is bestowed upon him for free, apart from works of the law, apart from the Christian's works of the law.
So with a few minutes here, David, are you saying that we ought to understand, we started out talking about the law as God's gift. It's a gift that he gives in mercy, ultimately for the sake of bestowing the gospel, that he speaks this word of law to us. It is his word, it is his will, it is a reflection of who he is and how we are hostile and alienated from him, from his person. And he speaks this so that he might speak the word of forgiveness in Christ Jesus.
Right. And it's one word, really. But this is right. We need to be exposed. And he exposes our sins not because he likes to watch us squirm. He exposes our sins and accuses us because we need to recognize that we need a Savior, right? The law establishes who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. Again, there's no gospel without the law. The law is the outline or the foundation. So he does this to us in mercy because it's what's good for us. And in the accusation is this very helpful instruction as to what a Christian is. Put on the new man and the renewal of your mind, that there should be something different between a Christian and an unbeliever. Certainly St. Paul thinks so, and that's the way it's laid out. So there is this going on, and the Christian strives and wants this because he receives this in faith with joy, that what God says is good, and that's the essence of faith, to believe that God is good, to expect good things from God for the sake of Christ Jesus, and to trust his word.
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article for the Lutheran Witness titled, What Does the Law Do? David, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September actually gets to this very subject beautifully. In fact, we see the apostle doing it in the pages of the book of Galatians and the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is a commentary, the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Galatians. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Andrew Doss. This is part of that series of Concordia commentaries, excellent scholarship, excellent quality, trustworthy conclusions. You'll find it all there in the Concordia Commentary on Galatians, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order one for yourself. While you're at it, order one for your pastor, too. He will greatly appreciate it. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. When we come back, we're going to talk about a new survey on religion and politics, and we'll discuss the derecognition of Christian fellowships in California universities. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois. 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues Etc. journal.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.